You're listening to the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter, filling in today on 1320 WILS in Lansing. We had some important breaking news happen earlier today with State Senator Bert Johnson. He's a Democrat out of Highland Park. You may remember that it was only a week or two ago that FBI agents raided his office in Lansing and also his home in Highland Park. They were looking for information related to a suspicion that he had used a ghost employee on the state payroll to help pay off what was perceived to be a loan that individual had given Senator Johnson back in the day. A federal grand jury today has indicted Senator Johnson on two counts, conspiracy and theft. And joining us on the other end of the line to talk about this as a reporter who's been covering this issue very intently for the Detroit News, he's Jonathan Osteen. Thanks for joining us on the show this evening.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was surprised. I don't know about you, Jonathan. I was surprised that the grand jury came back so quickly here with these two charges. But this is some pretty serious stuff against the senator.
It is. Yeah. I, like you, know that federal grand juries can basically take as much time as they want to look into potentially levying criminal charges or dropping an indictment. And I was sort of expecting this might take a little bit longer as well. However, the fact that they did search the senator's home and office just 2 weeks ago, one legal expert I talked to said that suggested they were probably narrowing in on whatever it was they were looking for. And the indictment released today suggests that the prosecutors looking at this case have a pretty significant paper trail of state Senate records and payroll records, confirming the rumors that we'd heard that they believe Bert Johnson hired someone who did not actually perform any work for him for the express purpose of paying back some personal loans that he had taken out from this individual.
Now, the individual that we're speaking of, I think we can all safely presume, is somebody named Glytis Thornton. She is the only person on the Senate payroll who fit the description that the U.S. Attorney's Office came out today. And she has her own checkered past, doesn't she?
Yeah, that's right. She was indicted in late 2015 on charges related to the Education Achievement Authority scandal in Detroit. She was accused in a kickback scheme and actually pled guilty to being part of a kickback scheme where she was using her education vending company to basically repay a principal for giving her the contract. She, as part of that case, agreed to cooperate. And that's an important note here as we pivot to the Bert Johnson case, because as you mentioned, the indictment levied today against Bert Johnson references repeatedly a cooperating witness. And based on the facts contained in that indictment, it's very clear that witness is Ms. Thornton. The indictment even references the same vending company that she had used as part of the EAA scandal. So without a doubt, this is her. Bert Johnson's attorney has confirmed to me that Ms. Thornton did in fact work for him. But he argues that Thornton did do some legitimate work and was not a ghost employee, and he suggested that they have evidence they're going to try and present if this case goes to trial to that effect.
Now, the indictment alleges that Thornton lent Johnson $10,000 in October 2013, and after Johnson repeatedly failed to pay her back, she was brought on as a community liaison in Johnson's office, and she was paid from the end of March of 2014 until the beginning of 2015, 30 hours a week, $22 an hour. And Jonathan, I've taken a look at the number of employees that Senator Johnson's had on the payroll. It seems a little bit on the high end compared to other employees in the minority of the state Senate, but they clearly must have more than just Thornton's testimony to try and hang Johnson with. Otherwise, it seems like they wouldn't be able to proceed further with an indictment.
Yeah, that's correct. There is a second cooperating witness mentioned in the indictment, which appears to be another employee of Thornton's education vending or consulting firm. It's not clear exactly who that person is. We know that the authorities had subpoenaed at least one other staff member for Senator Johnson. We can assume they've talked to other folks who worked for him around those times. As you know, a lot of the talk around Lansing has been that other Senate staffers had barely seen her, had barely seen Ms. Thornton, and according to one source I talked to, she did show up at an employee meeting one day after she'd been on the payroll for several months, and nobody had any idea who she was. it seems like there are probably more witnesses in this case than we've seen so far in the indictment. But again, the paper trail is going to be key because Ms. Thornton, as we know, has acknowledged to being corrupt herself. She has pleaded guilty in the EAA case. So simply testimony from one corrupt individual, alleged corruption by another, is probably not going to be enough to get a conviction here. So you have to assume that the authorities are comfortable and the grand jury is comfortable with some other evidence they're aware of.
Jonathan, we're going to have to let you go here in 15 seconds. But I remember Henry Stallings back in 1998 for the city of Detroit. He had to resign office because he was paying a employee in his art gallery through state Senate money. And so it would seem that that would seem to be what could be the final conclusion for Burt Johnson if he is indeed convicted. We're going to have to let you go. Jonathan Osteen from the Detroit News, and we'll be back with the Capital City Recap after this.